Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I am really interested in the University of Florida because they have a 7'9" tall basketball player who checked into the game last night. They were playing North Florida and they were up 41 with 2.5 left to play. Now this kid's young. They're just starting to develop the guy. But with 2:09 left to play in the game, the University of Florida checked in a 7'9" tall hooper last night, a French Canadian. My favorite part is he came in to replace a cat from Florida who goes like 6'9", 6'10". They checked this cat into the game, and the dude that they were plugging him in for at 6'9", 6'10", who was like the tallest guy on, I'm assuming at this point, 97% of basketball courts he's ever been on, checks out the game, and as he goes up to tell Olivier Rieu what is happening on the court to look out for and be ready for as a 7'9" big man, this 6'9" guy is looking up at this cat like my 8-year-old nephew looks up at me. Like, hey, bud, why don't you come on down here so I can tell you what's happening out there on the floor? 7'9", 305 pounds goes Olivier Rieu.
That's not very heavy. I know people, oh, wow, he weighs it. That's for that height?
Yeah, 7'9", 305. He's not, like, you can, if you want to go check out the video, you can see. Now, I did find this interesting. He obviously, I did not get a chance to watch this game because there were 7 other college basketball games on with ranked teams that I checked in ahead of Florida, mainly because Florida was beating the dog snot out of North Florida. Florida 0-1 before this game. They lost to Arizona in the opener. And the Wildcats look good, by the way. We'll circle around. Obviously, as we are just getting going in college basketball, a lot of us do care about college basketball now, but I also understand that it's like the 8th highest priority in the world right now to many of you, and we won't get there until closer to March. So we'll dabble in it now. That being said, the Florida Gators, like, this is interesting because I just don't, like, I don't know what this guy is going to do. As of right now, no points, no boards, no assists on the season. He didn't do anything last night. And again, at 7'9", the obvious thing is going to be, like, throw it at the rim. He's 7'9". For God's sake, he does not have, you know, like, guys like Shaq were like, oh, they don't really have to jump to dunk. This guy legitimately has to bring his arms down to dunk.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
I was going to say, 7'9", there's no way he needs to jump.
No. So, like, the thought would be just throw it up there. But also, at 305 pounds, but 7'9", there's going to be some big, like, some thick dudes down there that can just move him out of the way. I'm intrigued to see what you do with a guy that big because the other concern, obviously, and I'm not going to spend a minute on this, but the other concern about this, obviously, is that at 7'9", 305, not the thickest dude in the game, can you put muscle on that guy, right? Like, can the guy's body, this is why we've had the conversations
before. So is he more like Manute Bol or who was it, Bradley?
He does, like, you don't look at him and go, that dude's skinny, right? Like, you've seen those really tall, skinny guys, like super skinny. I've told you before, I played with a guy my junior year high school by the name of Michael Doe. Mike was 7'2", and Mike Doe was 7'2", and he probably legitimately weighed like 215. Like, he was nothing. Mike, they used to have me practice against Mike Doe at 6'3". This guy had a damn near a full foot on me, and they used to have me practice on Mike Doe mainly because back in the glory days, Springsteen style, I could put an elbow into the back of Mike Doe, and I could just drive him out of the paint, right? Like, 7'2", it's not eliminated by pushing him 8 feet from the basket, but you take away the biggest advantage. Like, now he's got to hit mid-range jumpers if you can push him off the block. So I'm interested to see what they do to open up the floor for this kid and give it an opportunity to be a big man. 7'9 is irrelevant if all you're doing is getting the ball at the elbow or getting the ball out in the wing, out in the short corner, because you're getting shoved away from the basket every time you get into the paint.
Is he European?
He's French Canadian.
Okay, so Canadian, never mind. Okay, I was going to say, if he's European, kicking him out beyond the three is probably okay with him.
Yeah, he's French Canadian, and he's not, from what I've seen, because again, didn't get a lot of video of him during the offseason. He's only played 2 minutes of basketball through two games so far. I got to imagine if he's only played 2 minutes, like he's not ready. So, which means either he's missing the mid-range jumper or he's not aggressive enough. If you go back and look through the history of the guys that are 7'2", 7'3", or bigger that are successful in basketball, they all have one thing in common, the successful ones, which is they are bloodthirsty. Like Shaq, I want you to think about Shaq. To me, Shaq is the most dominant big man in his prime. Shaq was the most dominant big man of all time, and it's because Shaq knew, and again, Shaq was thick, but Shaq knew, if I go head down, shoulder down, head down to the basket, and you stand between me and the basket, you might get the charge, but you will be paying for it for 3 to 5 business days.
And also, before they fix the backboards, if you're under and he's got the ball, you might get some glass on you.
I mean, dude was terrifying. This guy's not. And it's kind of interesting to see what, if anything, is going to come of that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 7:06 in the morning. Really quickly, let me run you through the schedule because it's a big one. In the very next segment of the show, coming up at 7:20, we got the chance, Lonzo and I did earlier this week, to talk with WWE former women's tag team champion, WWE former U.S. champion, and up tonight in Greenville, South Carolina against Julia to reclaim her U.S. title and become the first, second, and fourth overall women's U.S. champion, Chelsea Green. She is also the holder of the Lucha Libre Mixed Tag Team Championship with Ethan Page and NXT star as well. We'll talk to Chelsea Green in the next segment. 7:40, Lonzo and I will run you through some of our other biggest games of the college football weekend, give you our thoughts and projections. At 8 a.m., current WWE Women's Champion Jade Cargill will be in the studio. Zoe and I will have a conversation with Jade Cargill. 7:40, that is the end of this hour. Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News will swing by. We'll talk to her about everything going on in the world of South Carolina Gamecocks, which is a lot. 8 o'clock, Jade Cargill. 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will pull up. We'll talk Panthers after the shock win over Green Bay on the road. We'll talk about what happens next for that football team. At 9 o'clock, the fellows from the Moving the Chains pod will swing by, set you up for round one of the high school football playoffs. And then at 9:20, the illustrious Denton Day, host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, will stop by. We'll get his thoughts on the rest of the college football slate. All of that coming out through the course of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, allow us to get to everything happening in the world of sports, because it's time for this. It is the hashtag Friday Football Fiesta version of the water cooler cheat sheet right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, and you. I don't know why I'm introducing the show. It's a segment, dummy. Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, allow us to dive right in with item number one. I was going to put the 10-7 Broncos win over the Raiders on the water cooler cheat sheet as item number one. Ordinarily, weeknight football games get thrown on the slot, but this game sucked. It was boring. It was ugly. It was, I don't want to say unwatchable. It was watchable only if you didn't have anything better to watch, I guess. 10-7 Broncos win over the Raiders. Bo Nix, 16 of 28, 151 tutty, 2 picks. Geno Smith, 16 of 26, 143, no touchdowns, 1 interception, 84 rushing yards for the Broncos, 74 for the Raiders. It was just hot garbage. The Broncos get the win. The only entertaining thing about this one is the Broncos are now 3-0 in games decided by one score under 20 points. 3-0 in that contest, or in those contests. The only reason that is interesting is they are now off for 10 days, and then next Sunday, they got the Chiefs. The Chiefs are two games back in the division. With the Chiefs win over the Broncos in 2 weeks, the Chiefs would be now one game back of the Denver Broncos, and oh, by the way, they play them again one more time this season. Meaning that the Chiefs, if you just include games against the Broncos, if they go 2-0, we'll have an equal record with the Broncos, which means that the Broncos got to win all the other games outside of that, and no worse than split with Kansas City. But the way they're playing offense right now, tough to decide. All right, but that's not a water cooler cheat sheet item. This one is.
Not going to spend a ton of time on it because we talked about it back in hour number one. If you missed that, thefanupstate.com. Go to the podcast section, drop it down, go listen to hour one of the Rob Brown Show. I gave you some thoughts on this, but for the sake of the conversation, I do find it interesting. Wisconsin coach Luke Fickell will return to lead the Badgers in 2026, according to AD Chris McIntosh. The Badgers are 2-6 overall. They are winless in Big Ten play. They were 5-7 last year. They lost all three of their rivalry games. There are no trophies. They do the rivalry trophies up there. No trophies in Madison, Wisconsin right now. But they announced yesterday that they are keeping Luke Fickell. But what was interesting about this was not that they're keeping Luke Fickell, which, yes, that is interesting. But the interesting thing about them keeping Luke Fickell is that in the same announcement, Chris McIntosh also said that he and the chancellor of the school, quote, are aligned on significantly elevating investment in our program to compete at the highest level. We are willing to make an investment in infrastructure and staff as important as our ability to retain and recruit players in rev share and NIL era. Fickell is 15-19 through three seasons at Wisconsin, but McIntosh said that the school now plans on investing more into the football program to give them a chance to win. Is this a defense from the AD for not firing Luke Fickell when the fans want him to? Or is this an acknowledgement from the AD that the school is not invested in football the way that other Big Ten / national programs have? That's a very wild discussion for me to have. Because either the AD is acknowledging that the faults of the football program aren't on Luke Fickell, they're on the staff, him and the rest of the staff, or this is their way to say, there's too many open jobs. We don't view ourselves as attractive. We would have to make an experimental hire, and most experimental hires result in you having two buyouts. We'd have to pay Luke Fickell's buyout, and we'd have to put a new guy's salary on the books, and if that guy sucks, we'd have to put two buyouts and two salaries onto the record. We don't want to do that. We'll talk more about that later on with Denton Day at 9:20, get his thoughts, but let's get to item number two. Two Braves stories here for you. The first one, the Atlanta Braves have decided to pick up the option of starting pitcher Chris Sale. Sale will be back with the Atlanta Braves next year, an $18 million club option to retain the 2024 NL Cy Young winner. Last year, Chris Sale had a really, really good year. Did miss 10 weeks with a fractured rib cage, but before that, was throwing the ball very, very well. They also decided to pick up the contract option of Ozzie Albies, a $7 million option to keep Ozzie in the mix, which I think is good. I thought about this last night. I got some information. I was talking to a buddy of mine from Atlanta, and he said the smoke out of the ATL right now. We probably need to get Abe Gordon on next week to talk about this. The smoke out of the ATL right now is part of the reason that Walt Weiss, the 61-year-old bench manager who got the Braves skipper job, got the job, is because apparently, and I might be eating some crow on this, apparently the best relationship that Ronald Acuna Jr. has in the locker room is with Walt Weiss. That's his guy. That's his go-to. That's the guy he connected with. And here's the deal. Ronald Acuna Jr. must develop and mature as a leader this offseason. Well, he's not going to do that if he's got a problem with the manager. And apparently he had a problem with Brian Snicker, which is why every time anything went wrong for Ronnie, he ran to Instagram to post a passive-aggressive story. And Walt Weiss is apparently, according to reports, the guy that kind of kept him level-headed, like kept him from going too far down the deep end. If Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to mature into that leader, maybe Walt Weiss is the guy he needs to get him there. And Ozzie Albies is his North Star. Like, that's his guiding voice in the locker room. Ozzie's been the guy that's kind of like, let me help you develop as an MLB player. So I like that they picked that up. The other part of this story is that former Mets pitching coach Jeremy Hefner and first base coach Anton Richardson have both been added by the Braves to the managing staff. This is intriguing to me because the Mets last year, for about half the season, got pitching that was way above expected EPA, expected return on investment. The Mets pitching staff was very good last year, and their pitching coach left. And with them comes the first base coach, who is also the assistant hitting coach. What did the Braves struggle with last year? Hitting the ball. What did the Mets not struggle with last year? Hitting the ball. I went and checked the Mets subreddit last night. Mets fans are losing their gosh darn minds about these two guys not just leaving but going in division. I have to tell you, and maybe it's because I am Luke Fickell when it comes to my emotions. One day I'm like, is this optimism? If Walt Weiss is Ronnie's guy and Ronnie needs to be the face of this franchise, and if Walt Weiss just made in one day not one but two excellent coaching hires that have another divisional rivalry up in arms that we got these guys, maybe there's something to this. Maybe there's something to this. Let's get very quickly to item number three. Former NBA player and assistant coach Damon Jones pled not guilty yesterday to charges that he profited from rigged poker games and provided sports bettors with non-public information about injuries to former players during his time as an assistant coach, players that included LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The 49-year-old acknowledged that he read both indictments and that he understood the charges and his bail conditions, which include his mother and stepfather putting up their Texas home as collateral for a $200,000 bond. Jones' lawyer told a judge that he may be engaging in plea negotiations. He is due back in court for preliminary conferences with other defendants on November 24th. Jones was amongst more than 30 people arrested in two different gambling probes. He was one that was involved in both the illegal and rigged poker games with the mafia and the actual NBA points shaving slash stat shaving of the Jonte Porter slash Terry Rozier investigation. Sports bettor Marvs Fairley also pled not guilty to charges, alleging he cashed in on information about NBA players, including some that prosecutors say Jones provided to him. This is intriguing. This is interesting. One of the things that the FBI apparently was able to find, though this still has to be confirmed, was text messages sent by Damon Jones to bettors that included information that LeBron James was injured and would miss a game. They went back and they cross-referenced that to the injury report of the Lakers, and LeBron James had not yet been listed on the Lakers injury report at the time of the text message. So Damon James, according to the FBI, sent a text that said LeBron's hurt, he's going to be out tonight. Then, at the time, the Lakers had not announced that yet. And then, hours later, it was announced that LeBron was indeed out that night. The Lakers lost that game 115-106. Prosecutor said Fairley paid Jones approximately $2,500 for a tip that Anthony Davis, at the time the Lakers forward and center, would see limited playing time against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Fairley then placed a $100,000 bet on the Thunder to win. However, Anthony Davis played 27 minutes, scored 27 points, and collected 15 rebounds in a 112-105 win, which investigators say, the Lakers won that game, investigators say prompted Fairley to demand a refund of his $2,500 fee from Damon Jones. So they may be able to pit these two guys against each other. We'll see. I'm intrigued to see how this investigation plays out. We'll try to fit more about the hearings, the initial hearings yesterday, later in the show. The next round scheduled for 25 days from today, where I'm sure we will find out at that point what the defense is. When we come back, we had a chance earlier this week to sit down with the inaugural and soon to be two-time WWE Women's U.S. Champion Chelsea Green. Got a chance to do that on Wednesday. We will play that interview for you next. We'll come back after that. We'll set you up for the college football weekend. Jade Cargill, current WWE Women's Champion, joins us at 8 o'clock. All of that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, and it is a privilege, a pleasure, an honor, and exclusively mine to welcome in not just any guest, ladies and gentlemen. She might be the greatest living American who is Canadian,
but is also the greatest living American. She is also one half of the Lucha Libre Triple A Worldwide Mixed Tag Team Champions. I gave that my best shot. She'll judge me in a minute. The first ever WWE US Women's US Champion, and soon to be the first two-time WWE Women's US Champion. She is a former WWE Women's Tag Team Champion as well. She is the illustrious, the iconic Chelsea Green. And Chelsea, I want you to know, I planned on all week hitting you with the Chelsea Green intro, and I've never been more let down in my life that I can't pull it off right now.
So I have a couple of thoughts about all of this. First of all, you actually, you did kind of a good job. I would give you a passable grade on that. C's get degrees, so I'll give you a C. And I would have given you an A had you just committed. Do you know what I mean? Like, commitment to the bit is key. Hello?
No, I completely agree. And I want you to know, I tried three times on my radio show.
She just gave you the opportunity. You got to do this.
I'm going to take the passing grade. And I will give it a run, Chelsea Green. But I want you to know, I tried this three times on the radio show and it failed miserably every time. So if I embarrass myself, it's 100% on you and I'll accept it. But it is. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the illustrious, the iconic, Chelsea Green. See, it's just bad, Chelsea.
Wow, it's so bad, it's good.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
I was hoping your voice would go the rest of the way, then I could conduct the rest of the interview.
That was pathetic.
That would have been awesome.
We are so glad to have you on the show, Chelsea Green. It is an absolute pleasure. WWE Friday Night SmackDown here in Greenville, South Carolina, coming up this Friday evening at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. Let's just start with, you might be the busiest person in professional wrestling right now. You're on 97 different shows. You've got championship belts. You're on your way to earning your U.S. Women's Championship back here in just a couple of days. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm a campeona and soon to be two belts shells, so pretty good.
All right, so we have seen that you are presently looking for you're hiring for the Secret Service. What exactly are the prerequisites to be a member of the Secret Service?
So I'm assuming that you didn't read my briefing that I sent out to the entire universe. But obviously slaying is a requirement. Protecting the one and only me, another requirement. Knowing how to order my coffee just the way I like it, which now includes protein foam from Starbucks. You know, honestly, how much time do you have? I could go on forever. There's a lot of requirements. That's why I've picked the best of the best in Alba and Piper.
I respect that entirely, Chelsea, and I submit for your approval, and I am fine with the answer either way. We tried to get the video going before. It didn't work. I hope you notice. I broke out the outfit. Like, I broke out the black suit and tie. Is there possibility, even if it's for only Friday night in Greenville, for like an honorary position in the unit, if I am indeed willing to stand between you and whoever in order to join the agency?
Are you willing to beat Julia up with me?
I don't know how it's going to come across in Greenville, South Carolina, if I was to join in, but yes.
Well, then immediately no, pal. Immediately no, because I'm after one thing and one thing only, and that's to become two belts Chels. And this Friday, if I do not beat Julia, I am not two belts Chels. So I'm sorry, but unless you kind of get on my same wavelength and join the agenda and the campaign, you can't be a flagrant.
All right. See, I think the real reason why she is saying no to you is because you couldn't do the intro. That's what I'm going with.
There's a couple of reasons, you know, but I'm trying to be kind. I'm working on kindness this year in 2025. So I've got about 2 or 3 months left. So we're starting now, you know, I'm shutting my mouth.
Well, I mean, you're going to finish strong. So we have seen online about the new house. How much space are you giving your husband, Matt Cardona, for his action figures?
I mean, look, we searched for a new home for 2 years and could not find anything that suited his action figure needs. So we had to build a damn house ourselves. And when I tell you his toy room is the size of 2 bedrooms and a bathroom, I am not being dramatic.
I need you to know, unfortunately, as a couple of nerds, we both immediately respect that. Chelsea Green. See, that was, I almost did it on accident. Chelsea Green, WWE superstar, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, seeking to gain back the WWE Women's U.S. Championship. Let me ask you about that, Chelsea Green, because you are, of course, and obviously not just the first, but the longest reigning and the greatest U.S. champion, and you must defeat Julia to prevent her from becoming longest reigning. When you won the belt for the very first time, and you were the first woman to carry that belt, you had the opportunity not just to reach a standard, but to set a standard for that belt, a belt that obviously matched on the men's side that has a lot of history. You had the chance to start the history with this championship. Did you feel pressure by that? And do you feel like you accomplished that in your time? And do you think you can elevate when you win the belt back from Julia?
So I'm just assuming that all of that was a rhetorical question, because everything I touch turns to gold. Even the gold that I touch turns to gold. So really, I have zero fear about the trajectory of my career and the two belts that I'm going to hold after this Friday in Greenville. I think that we can only go up from here. And, you know, Ethan and I have, in the matter of 3 days, elevated the AAA mixed tag team champions or championships. We've elevated those. You know, we've brought them back from Mexico. We've given them an appearance on NXT in the United States. And I'm planning on doing that with the United States title yet again. I'm going to hold the two belts, travel around the world, be the face of WWE, and I mean, really give a meaning to the word champion.
All right, speaking of words, you know, some people don't believe in magic. I do. I am curious if you know, if you say certain words, something would happen. Why do you say his name? Why do you say his name?
Look, I didn't really know who this Joe guy was before, but I've learned. After last night, I'm educated. Ethan Page has taught me. We've got some ground rules now. We will no longer be saying his name. And yeah, that's that. I never want to see him or his tiny little pipsqueak sidekick girlfriend again.
Have you managed to successfully get all of the stuff out of your hair? Because it looked abysmal. And I imagine that was like a multi-hour process to get back to Chelsea Green standards. Have we arrived?
Well, if your video was working, you would see that I look absolutely stunning this morning. And that's thanks to numerous showers last night. Not just one, two, but three showers. A lot of clarifying shampoo. And yes, time spent scrubbing. Places I never thought I'd have to scrub. Okay.
Chelsea Green joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Let's talk about what happened in that moment. You have, and in that moment, and obviously millions more leading up to it, you have over the years become someone who takes over every camera that you stand in front of, and it doesn't matter where you are in the building, whether it's in the ring or in backstage, having interactions, doing interviews with Kathy Kelly and whoever else. You have been absolutely phenomenal and iconic in taking over those cameras, to the point that it feels to me like, and I'm guilty of this, you're beloved by everybody and can get away with whatever you want, no matter what it is that you are doing. Is that all natural, or have you practiced that to be able to make it a part of what elevates you to the status of Le Campion?
Le Campion. I love how that sounds. I truly was born with the gift of gab. My husband would say that. My family would say that. My friends would say that. Everyone in school would say that. But there is something to be said about just practicing and honing your craft. And, you know, I've always been very proud to kind of have that skill as a public speaker. And so acting class has elevated that. Promo class in NXT helped that. Having zero fear and 100% confidence, maybe a little bit of delusion helped that. But, you know, I love that they give me the microphone, that they trust me creatively with those moments. And so I never want to let them down in that aspect. And if that's what I can bring to the table, then I need to do it the best I can possibly do it. So every time I go out there, I just make sure that, you know, no matter what, I've got kind of like a fail-safe backup plan for if things go awry. And I think Ethan Page is the exact same way, and that's why we get along in that aspect.
We've had the honor of interviewing quite a few WWE superstars, and I love to ask this question. You've traveled all over the world. What crowd overwhelmed you with how loud they were?
Oh, man. I mean, I would even say last week at in Monterey for AAA, I really would say, like, Mexico is an insane crowd, but it's hard to narrow it down because we were just traveling through Europe, and the Europe crowds for wrestling are a lot like the European crowds for football. And so they have a lot of amazing chants, and it's really fun and interactive. So that's loud in a different way. And then, of course, obviously, being the greatest Canadian wrestler to ever come out of Canada, I love going to the motherland because they're going to cheer for me louder than any other schmuck in that ring. So that's also a loud crowd. So really anywhere but America.
What is it like to be in this spot where you are obviously the greatest Canadian wrestler of all time? You're also the face of America, especially if you get the belt back, the U.S. Women's Championship.
Why'd you say if?
When, sorry, you are correct, and I've never been embarrassed more
That's
in my
right.
life.
That's
when
right.
you defeat Julia Friday night and get that belt back. And now, obviously, as a holder of a belt from AAA, what is it like to, at this point, I would dare submit Chelsea Green, be the face of North America at this point?
What are you asking? I blacked out after you didn't say proper sentence.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It is fair. Allow me to try that again. When
you
get the championship back from Julia, when you become the first two-time U.S. women's champion, when you become a belt holder from Canada, in the United States, and in Mexico, bringing those belts back, what is it like for you to become a wrestler who is not just but the face of the entire continent of North America?
Well, you know, I've prepared my whole life for this, and I am ready. I'm ready. I'll take the burden on. Someone's got to do it. I'd rather it be me than God only knows who else in that company, okay? I look good. I feel good. I give great energy. People like to talk to me. I'm decent at wrestling, so I do feel like I'm the best candidate. So I'm stepping forward, and I'm volunteering as tribute, you know?
Okay, well, I'm not going to do the triple thing because that makes me feel weird. So I'm not going to
really
do that.
And really, it's triple
See, I can't do that. Like, you can't. Thank goodness. We've seen this guy. Is Mr. Iguana creepy up close?
Yes. Yes, he is. He is just as creepy as you can imagine. His tongue is so scary. And if I ever came near him again, that would be too soon.
Chelsea Green here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. They will be here in town at Friday Night SmackDown, where she will square off with Julia to reclaim. She will reclaim her women's U.S. championship and become the first two-time athlete. Chelsea, I'm going to give you on the way out the door one more question. You have been in ladder matches. You've been in mixed tag matches. You have been in Royal Rumbles. You have done it all over the course of your career. When you become the champion, if you were given the opportunity to put a stipulation, and it can be any type of match you have participated in over the course of your career, what match would you make the next number one contender square off with you in to try to take that belt off of you?
Oh, to take off of me?
Yeah, you get to call it. You can put them, you can say they have to win a Royal Rumble. They have to defeat you in a ladder match.
He's not saying they're going to win.
What is the correct? I'm not saying, like, what type of match would you put them in to prove that they are worthy of number one contender status to the greatest of all time?
A blindfold handicap TLC match with lumberjills on the outside and fire somewhere.
Fire somewhere.
As long as there are no light tubes involved. Those light tube things, it's
yeah, you know, I've had my fair share of light tubes. I'm going to keep those out of it. But fire, definitely lots of fire.
Chelsea Green joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate Friday Night SmackDown at the Bonscore Wellness Arena coming up this Friday. She is one half of the Lucha Libre Triple Worldwide Mixed Tag Team Champions. She is the first ever WWE U.S. Champion. She is soon to be the first two-time U.S. Champion and the fourth overall. She is a former WWE Women's Tag Team Champion, and she is the greatest wrestler on earth. Chelsea Green, phenomenal to have you on the show. Thank you for your time. Good luck on Friday night. We'll be there to watch you raise a belt again.
And you're welcome for my time. Adios, as they say, en español.
Adios, gracias. Chelsea Green here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate efforting Lulu Kesson. We'll hopefully have her on here in just a minute. Let me get Bill in here, who's been kind enough to hold on the phone while we work on getting Lulu. Bill, welcome to the Rob Brown Show, brother. Good to have you. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I listen to you every morning on my way to work. I work at Woodmont High School. I want to give a shout-out to the Lady Wildcats volleyball team for winning the 5A Division II state title last night.
Very nice. Very nice. We love hardware coming back to the Upstate, baby. That's good stuff.
Yeah. It was a great game, Rob. I enjoy your show and can't wait to listen to the rest today.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that, big dog. Good to have you on the broadcast. My guy, again, working on Lulu Kesson. We'll see if we can get Lulu plugged up here in just a few minutes from right now. We'll talk to her about everything going on in Columbia, South Carolina. Jay Cargill, WWE Women's Champion, coming on board with us in the next segment of the show at 8:40. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will be joining us. We'll talk to Rashad about the shock win over the Green Bay Packers on the road at Lambeau Field this past Sunday and get you set up for the Panthers moving forward. This team on a win streak. When Bryce Young has started, they, of course, took that big loss to the Bills a couple of weeks ago, but Andy Dalton got the nod for that game. In games that BY has started, the team on a four-game win streak with wins over the Dolphins, Cowboys, Jets, and Packers. Now, in fairness, you can make the argument that the fact is, objectively, the most quality win is on the road at Green Bay. The win over the Cowboys was a good one at the crib, and then it was an ugly contest. And again, like, winning ugly is still winning. You'd like to get to the point that you are not winning ugly so much as you're just consistently and constantly winning. So we'll see how that plays out for Carolina as they are at home hosting divisional rival the New Orleans Saints coming up on Sunday. Interested to see what that game looks like after the Saints just traded Rashid Shaheed away. He is now a Seattle Seahawk. That was kind of their most trustworthy wide receiver. They also moved on from Trevor Penning. He got sent to the Los Angeles Chargers, pardon me. Penning was an interesting one, man. You're talking about an early round draft pick that got traded away for a sixth rounder. Penning is a dude that was bad in pass protection, average at best in the run game. But I also look at a New Orleans Saints team that has not really developed a good offensive lineman dating back to like Willie Roaf, which is freaking infuriating. We'll see if they're able to get their game stepped up and play with the Panthers on the road. But listen, the Panthers have an opportunity here to get to 6-4. They have an opportunity here to get two games above 500 for the first time in a very long time. But most importantly, they also, with six wins, have an opportunity to potentially have this division right there in the mix. If Tampa Bay, who is at home, but against the Patriots, and again, the Patriots are a very interesting team. They are currently 7-2, are New England, but they haven't looked great in a game or two so far this season. They did not look great in their win over the Falcons. They did get it done. They looked okay against the Browns. They looked okay against the Titans. They did not look great against the Saints. Took them a while to pull away, but they did beat Buffalo. They did beat those same Carolina Panthers by a lot of the points. So with all of that being said, if the Patriots knock off Tampa Bay and if Carolina knocks off New Orleans, that would create a world where the Carolina Panthers are 6-4, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-3. You were talking about a half game difference in the division, but with an equal amount of wins. and Carolina is still a couple of weeks away from the bye. So there's a lot of possibility here. There's a lot of opportunity for this team to really do something special. And this weekend against the New Orleans Saints will, I think, give you a pretty good indication. Look, this is a game to me. This is a game that the Carolina Panthers need to establish something, right? Like that win over Green Bay, it's a good win. Like it's a very good win. It's also, I think we have to acknowledge, it did not look, and again, against a very, very good defense, offensively, they did not look great. I mean, they got carried once again by Rico Dowdle. Bryce Young with, what was that, 111 yards or whatever. Like, BY did not look like he was dicing up any and everybody that could have, should have, would have been diced up. But he was putting the ball where it needed to be. Again, smart, efficient, whatever. And I think there is something to that. So we'll see how that plays out. I am intrigued to see what Carolina does. Do they establish themselves? At 8:40 this morning, we will talk to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. We'll get his thoughts on all of this and see what he thinks about the New Orleans Saints hosting or taking to the road to take on the Panthers and how much a win over a divisional rival would matter. Texter just wrote and said, are you going to the game in Charlotte this weekend? Unfortunately, Dodger Chris, I am not. This will be the first Saints at Panthers game that I'm going to miss, but I have obviously an event tonight. I've got a show tomorrow. I have got another gig tomorrow night that I've got to do. And the wife and I are going to, we're actually going to go meet. We've got a couple of very dear friends that are out of towners that are actually going to be in Asheville on Sunday. So we are going to go up to Asheville and we are going to go watch the game with them in Asheville on Sunday. First game that I've missed. I'm kind of disappointed. I'm kind of bummed out about it. But at the same time, life just happens the way that life happens. So I will not be there on Sunday. Fortunately, however, I will be. And the other part of the reason that I'm okay with it is is it next weekend? Yeah, next weekend, I will be headed down to New Orleans. And next weekend will be at the Saints-Falcons game, as a matter of fact, down at the Superdome. So effectively, we traded a game, Saints at Panthers, so I could take my wife to her first Saints game at the Dome. And on top of that, like, honestly, unfortunately, I just don't see a world where the Saints are going to Charlotte, especially after the trade of arguably the best receiver. I mean, on paper, Chris Olave is the best wide receiver. Unfortunately, I think Chris Olave has largely checked out. I think Chris Olave has checked out this season, which is, it's not understandable. You want a competitor, and it does concern me a little bit for the long run. But at the same time, like, the passing offense has been garbage. He hasn't helped it, but it's not been good. So, like, I don't like it. I don't appreciate it, but I get it. And we'll see if anything changes about the Saints, as, again, they are on the road at Carolina this weekend. But I will be back in New Orleans for the Saints-Falcons game, and let's keep it a buck if we can and if we shall. If the Saints are going to win a divisional game, it's going to be at home against Atlanta. It's not going to be on the road at Carolina. So we'll talk more about that perhaps when we get closer to that game. Then we got a stacked locked and loaded college football slate we've got to get into. So when we come back here in about 10 minutes, current reigning WWE Women's Champion Jade Cargill is going to be in studio with us. We will talk to Jade about her defeat of Tiffany Stratton on Saturday Night Main Event this past weekend. We will talk to her about her time as a two-time WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. We will talk to her. She is also, by the way, the reigning Queen of the Ring. And we've got to talk about that. We'll also get some thoughts. And listen, I'm not saying that Lonzo and I have the opportunity to be influencers here. What I am saying is both of us mutually agreed that if we're bringing the X-Men back into the WWE or back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there is only one woman on planet Earth that can and should and has to play Storm, and it's Jade Cargill. So we might even get her thoughts. We'll see if we can get her to go ahead and on the show commit to playing Storm in the MCU moving forward, as we know that there is some role for the X-Men moving forward. I'm excited about that. Looking forward to Jade Cargill in the next segment. And 30 minutes-ish after that, Rashad Beer, Panther Nation podcast at 8:40. The fellas from the Moving the Chains podcast at 9 a.m. as we are headed into week one of the college or high school football playoffs. We'll talk to the fellas from. I got to slow down. I'm excited. Can you tell I'm getting excited?
Yeah, I'm getting pumped up. I get that you're getting nervous, and
it's not. I can say honestly, like it's not nervous. It's excitement.
Right.
But I still trip all over myself.
Doesn't excitement kind of come from your nerves, though?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could to some degree.
You don't want to overly excite because then you're going to project too much, and if you project too much, your voice is gone, dude.
We
still got 2 hours left, including a bunch of wonderful interviews coming up.
Let's do this. Let's run to a break a couple of minutes early because I got to go get Jade. She's in the parking lot. Go let her upstairs. Jade Cargill in the next segment of the show. Right after that, Rashad Beard at 8:40. Moving the Chains at 9 o'clock. Denton Day at 9:20. All of that coming up right now. Alonzo with a sports flash.
All right, the Denver Broncos defeated the Las Vegas Raiders last night in an absolute score fest. It was amazing how many points were scored. 10-7. The Broncos are now 8-2 on the season. Bo Nix went 16-28 with one touchdown and two picks, and the Broncos had only 84 rushing yards. However, they held Geno Smith to 16-26 for 143 yards, no touchdowns, and one pick. The Atlanta Braves have picked up the option on starting pitcher Chris Sale, paying him $18 million to remain on the roster in 2026. Sale, who won the 2024 NL Cy Young Award, went 7-5 with a 2.58 ERA and 165 strikeouts across 125.2 innings this past season. And former NBA player and assistant coach Damon Jones pleaded not guilty to charges that he provided sports bettors with non-public information about injuries to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The next round of hearings, November 24th.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.